Our next case is 2021-864, City of Maple Heights versus Netflix Incorporated and Hulu Incorporated. For the respondent, Mr. Hallwell.
Mr. Gar, Your Honor.
Oh, I'm sorry. For the petitioner. My apologies.
No problem at all. Thank you, Chief Justice O'Connor and Associate Justices, and may it please the court. Gregory Gar on behalf of defendant Netflix. This court granted certification in this case to address two questions. First, whether Netflix and Hulu are video service providers under the Ohio Fair Competition and Cable Operations Act. And second, whether the City of Maple Heights may bring this action to enforce the video service provider provisions in any event. We respectfully submit that the court should answer both questions in the negative, as the state of Ohio has itself urged in its amicus brief. Two core pillars of the act compel this conclusion. First, the act establishes a facilities-based scheme that depends on a quid pro quo in exchange for the right to construct or operate wires or cables in the public rights of way, one must pay franchise fees. And second, the act establishes a uniform regulatory regime that eliminates the need for piecemeal regulation on a city-by-city basis, invests the exclusive franchising authority in the Director of Commerce. These core pillars of the act compel the conclusion that Netflix and Hulu, which do not own, operate, or control any wires or cables or facilities in the public rights of ways, are not video service providers under the Act. And if there were any doubt about that, that it would be the Director of Commerce and not the City of Maple Heights or any one of the other 100 municipalities of Ohio who would be bringing suit to enforce that provision. This conclusion also follows by walking through an application of the video service provider provisions. First, Netflix and Hulu are not video service providers for the simple fact that they do not have a video service authorization. That's how video service providers defined in the statute at 1332.21M.
What would you call Hulu and Netflix? Streaming services?
That's right, Your Honor. They're streaming services. They make their content available for streaming over the public internet to anyone who can access the internet. And they're fundamentally unlike the cable operators, which are the paradigm example of the video service provider for which this act was intended, which actually own, operate, and install wires and cables in the public rights of way. And the reason why Netflix and Hulu have never been asked to get a video service authorization from the Director of Commerce is they don't provide a video service for three separate reasons, Your Honor. First is, again, they don't provide anything over wires or cables in the public rights of way, and that's how video service is defined. In the case of Netflix, Netflix doesn't provide video programming under the Act, which is defined in reference to programming that is like television program. Netflix's programming, which is available anywhere, anytime, in any place, is not scheduled or channelized, and so is fundamentally unlike television programming. And Netflix and Hulu make their programming, their content, they make their content available for all by streaming over the internet, which means that they fall within the heartland of the public internet exception. And the last thing I would say before shifting to the state of Ohio, Your Honors, is that holding that Netflix and Hulu are video service providers would result in an absurd result, or at least an extreme conclusion. It would mean that anyone who streams content over the internet, whether it's a high school that streams educational programs or athletic events, a church that may stream programs, or this court itself, which is streaming this argument live today, would be a video service provider under the Act, potentially subject to the franchising fees requirements. There is no evidence at all that the legislature intended that when they enacted the Fair Competition and Cable Operations Act to facilitate new infrastructure and investment in infrastructure in the state related to cable operations, which is made express in the findings in 1332-22, Your Honor, in order to facilitate the use of the public rights of ways and the need to lay and construct and operate wires and cables over those rights of ways, which no one disputes that Netflix and Hulu did not do simply by making their video content available for streaming to all over the internet. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Cherie LeBron?
Yes, that's right. Chief Justice, Justices, I'm going to be brief here. You've already heard from my friend about the various provisions about who is a video service provider under the Act. I want to start off by talking about who calls the shots here under the statute. And there's only one person who is authorized to call the shots, that is, to declare an entity a video service provider and compel them to get an authorization. And that person is the Director of Commerce, who is not only the franchising authority, but the sole franchising authority under the statute. And that really ends the case here, because Maple Heights cannot sue to compel entities like Netflix and Hulu to get authorizations. I also want to reemphasize a point that my friend made here, which is, what is the core principle that animates the video service authorization law? And the core principle that animates this law is delivery. It is about the delivery of video programming through wires and cables. Put another way, it's about those entities that are physically intruding in Maple Heights' public rights of way, those who are digging up their roads, and they pay for the right to do that, and that's what the authorization does. Entities like Netflix and Hulu, which are wholly agnostic to how the video content they provide is actually delivered to their users, those entities are not the ones that are tagged under this statute. The statute is very clear. This is about those who dig, they must pay. If they don't dig, then they don't pay. And I think that is the core principle that animates this entire case. If there are any questions from the court, I'd be happy to answer. If not, I think I'll cede the rest of my time to Hulu on rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel.
May it please the court, Your Honors, Chief Justice Justin Howell on behalf of the respondent, City of Maple Heights, Ohio. Your Honors, this is a relatively straightforward case of statutory interpretation. The city's position is that the statute means what it says, that Netflix and Hulu are video service providers because they provide their services over wires and cables located in the public rights of way. That's all the statute says. There's nothing in that definition of video service that requires Netflix and Hulu to operate facilities in the rights of way, nothing that requires them to construct facilities in the rights of way. They only must provide their programming over wires and cables, and there's no dispute.
But Councilor, doesn't that, as counsel for Netflix and Hulu stated, so doesn't that mean everybody, so teenagers, TikTok postings, Instagram, anything that you post that can be accessed through your data or through Wi-Fi?
Your Honors, That's a good question, Your Honor. So counsel ignored the definition of video programming when it made the statement that this court could somehow even be considered a video service provider.
Would you recommend Columbus tax us?
No, I would not, Your Honor, because video programming is defined in the statute as being comparable to that of broadcast television. And so our allegations are such that an entity like this, I mean,
these are pretty good broadcasts.
I agree, Your Honor, but they don't provide the same content, quality, genre, entertainment that Netflix and Hulu do.
How do you know we don't? But seriously, if I imagine that there are some citizens across the state who might tune into government programming regularly, be it this court's hearings, be it legislative sessions, be it some meetings of the governor, whatever. And if they are entertained by that, I mean, isn't that a subjective standard?
I don't think the standard is entertainment per se. I think the fact that makes Netflix and Hulu video programmers is the fact that their content is virtually indistinguishable from broadcast television. They provide the same shows, the same movies. They're competing with broadcast television. They produce their own content.
How are they competing with broadcast television?
Yeah, Your Honor, I don't know if you're familiar with the cord-cutting phenomenon, but there are definitely subscribers or consumers in the state of Ohio and across the country that are, quote-unquote, cutting the cord, moving away from traditional cable providers and subscribing to one or more streaming service like Netflix and Hulu. And so I think that is the core difference that differentiates Netflix and Hulu from this court or from...
Is there any way to see this oral argument by, I mean, it's on government television. You can go online and go to the Ohio Channel link and access it. Is viewing this any different than a Netflix or a Hulu show, movie? Because you have to access them all the same way, kind of. Well, you couldn't see Netflix or Hulu on government TV.
As far as I know, Your Honor, you can stream this argument live on the court's website, but it's not offered on television.
Aren't there local government television shows that are showing this?
I don't know for sure. There may well be, but I think the differentiating factor is that the court is not in the business of providing video programming.
Okay, so what about Roku, Apple, YouTube? Did you include those?
We did not.
Why not?
I don't think Roku is a device that facilitates the delivery of content. It doesn't actually have its own content. The same with like an Apple TV, Your Honor. Certainly.
You pay a subscription to Apple to get particular movies and programming and television shows, just like you do for Hulu and Netflix.
Certainly, Your Honor, and we're not taking the position that Hulu and Netflix are the only video service providers that stream content. Certainly, there may be others that have reached the threshold. For example, the FCC has determined in its interpretation of the Federal Communication Act that streaming services can reach the threshold when they reach the level of quality that goes along with broadcasting television, like cable television. And I would also add, Your Honor, that Hulu...
Have any of them reached that threshold, according to the FCC?
I don't think the FCC has made specific findings as to any service provider, but they have certainly left the door open that streaming services can reach that threshold. And
Wouldn't you have to wait for that before you go down the path that you're going?
Well, the FCC has already determined that streaming services, and I do believe it has found that Netflix has reached that threshold, Your Honor, but it hasn't delineated each and every service. But we believe that that's actually a question for interpretation by the courts as to when that threshold is met and when a person's service is comparable to broadcast television.
Wouldn't you need to really have a change in the statute, going back to that 2007 Act and redefine what this is rather than have the court do it?
Well, I think the legislature has pretty clearly defined what a video service provider is. It's someone who provides video programming over wires and cables located in the public rights of way. And the statute, the intent of the statute, is clearly technologically neutral. There are provisions of the statute that speak to new technologies, and so it was intended to be flexible, to be able to be applied to new technologies. And so one of the points I'd like to make is that I believe that Netflix and Hulu's reading of the statute would render it essentially obsolete, because even Spectrum and AT&T, for example, who are traditional cable providers, are now moving towards streaming their television over the internet. And so under their interpretation of the public internet exception, they would also be excluded from the Act.
But they still have wires underground, poles up, lines. They're still under this category. And if there comes a point in time where none of those entities exist anymore, then I imagine the definition will change. Does that make sense?
Yes and no, Your Honor, because the way the public internet exception is worded, it doesn't make an exception that the public internet exception applies to you if you stream your content over the internet, but also have facilities in the public rights of way. It makes no distinction. And so under the plain language of the exception, anyone who provides any content over the internet would be excluded as video service provider.
So what about YouTube and individuals who use it and have people like self-help videos of, you know? Yeah.
Again, I would argue, Your Honor, that it's not comparable to broadcast television because they are short clips. Certainly, maybe YouTube TV, which is a new service that they offer that is essentially identical to television. They have channels, live television, and all of that. That would be comparable to broadcast television. But certainly the website YouTube, which again, as Your Honor pointed out, offers only small video clips.
No, I didn't say small. You said small.
As I'm pointing out, small video clips.
I've seen some fairly lengthy.
Correct, Your Honor. But they don't offer television shows. They don't offer movies. They don't offer the types of content that Netflix and Hulu offer. And so I do believe there's a distinguishing factor there.
Well, but so you are saying that there's a difference in the, I guess, type of entertainment, if you will. When you say television shows and movies, I mean, an individual filming something and putting it up on YouTube is a movie. I've seen movies on YouTube, and I don't mean the YouTube channel, but, you know, if you're, you know, videotaping your son's first steps and put a collage together from the time he was one to the time he's playing Little League, arguably that's a movie.
Yes, Your Honor, but that's not a movie that you would find on broadcast television unless it's maybe America's Funniest Home Videos or something, but that is a program that is produced by a broadcast television station, which so Netflix and...
Isn't the real difference here? You can have at your home cable TV without Wi-Fi, without internet connection, but for Hulu and Netflix, you do need an internet connection. Isn't that the real technological difference here between the two?
That is a difference, Your Honor, but I think even with AT&T, for example, I mean, in order to access their streaming television, you have to have an internet connection.
Well, I understand that. I get that. But if you could have basic television, cable TV from Spectrum or AT&T, basic cable, 30 channels instead of hundreds, without an internet connection, correct?
That's correct.
Well, but can't you see Netflix without an internet connection? Couldn't I be in an airport and look at a movie on my phone?
Yes, Your Honor, you can.
Without internet connection?
Correct. I mean, well, you would still need an internet connection. It may not be from an internet service provider. It may be through your mobile carrier. But the fact of the matter is, regardless of whether or not it's cable television going over fiber optic cables that are connected to your home or over the internet, it's still the same wires and cables. And the only thing the statute requires, the plain definition, is that the content is transmitted over wires and cables.
So let's, taking Justice Fisher's question, and let's flip it a different way. So if I'm Spectrum or Huawei, essentially I'm a highway that carries other services on my back. But if I'm Netflix or Hulu, I'm one of those services that cruises that highway, but I can't carry other services on my back. Do you see what I mean?
That's
what the statute's looking at, more the former than the latter?
No, Your Honor. I mean, we believe that because Netflix and Hulu rely on the exact same infrastructure, and while they may not be digging up or constructing things in the rights of way, they are certainly physically impacting that.
I understand, but when you look at the fee structures between the two, and it's inescapable because of the investment that companies like Spectrum or Huawei, just by example, those monthly fees are 8 to 10 times what Netflix would be per month or Hulu would be per month. I mean, isn't that reflective of the amount of investment that's there and in terms of what this franchising fee is? Isn't that related to that investment?
So, Your Honor, the fee by statute is defined as based on gross revenues from subscribers. So as more and more people move away from traditional cable television and move towards services like Netflix and Hulu, the fees that go to the municipalities and townships to invest in this infrastructure are being pulled away from the cities because there's not as many subscribers to the cable companies, and they're going towards Netflix and Hulu, who are using the exact same infrastructure but aren't being required to pay any fee. And so we believe that it's only fair that because they're impacting and their data, there is a physical burden, the more bandwidth that's required to stream these high quality HD videos, the more and more fiber optic cable needs to be implemented in the rights of way.
Sure, but does the city really have a stake in whether it's 4G or 5G? Isn't that really up to the companies that are putting the wires in the ground? Because presumably Hulu and Netflix are paying those companies to stream on those media.
Yeah, Your Honor, we have not gotten through discovery, obviously, on this case, so we don't know exactly what the relationship is between Netflix and Hulu and the internet service providers. But I would draw a distinction between 4G and 5G because that, again, is internet service that applies to mobile cell phones. Whereas in this case, the what we're alleging Netflix and Hulu use is the fiber optic cables that actually go under the ground, which the plain definition of video service states that as long as the content is transmitted through those cables, it's video service.
Council, let me ask it a little differently. I agree with you, the service costs, the broadband, the wires, fiber optics, big deal. But shouldn't you be up at the State House, a block and a half away, instead of at a courthouse, trying to get the law changed?
Well, I don't think we're trying to change the law. I think we're trying to apply this same plain language to a new technology.
Isn't that a policy decision?
I think it's this court's job to simply interpret
the
language and apply the law. And if the legislature thinks it needs to be changed, then that's on Netflix and Hulu to lobby the legislator and get it changed.
Okay.
This is a 2007 statute, is it not?
Correct.
All right. And you would admit that there's been tremendous advancement in entertainment and what can be brought into the home by various means since 2007.
Correct, but I do think that the plain language of the statute evidences an intent to apply to new technologies. For example, in the application process, when you need to apply to be a video service provider, there's an amendment provision that says if you start using new technologies to provide your service, you have to amend the application and disclose what technologies you're using.
If these are service providers, video service providers, should the Director of Commerce be here instead of you?
I don't think so, Your Honor. While
if Hulu's a video service provider and they're providing services and they're not licensed to do so, isn't that a problem?
We believe it is, Your Honor, yes.
Well, then how can you tax it? Why isn't it something else?
So the statute actually carves out a provision in its plain language that allows cities and townships to initiate disputes over compensation.
Right.
In the courts, and so that's what we've done. While the statute speaks to underpayment, we believe that non-payment is a form of underpayment, and so that we're entitled to bring this action in the courts of competent jurisdiction.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. G?
Yes. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, I'm playing cleanup in terms of rebuttal, and I'm here on behalf of Hulu. A couple points I want to make. I agree with the respondents that the answer to the two certified questions lies in the plain language of the statute. What's remarkable, though, is that that plain language, i.e., what it means to be a video service provider, wasn't really addressed by respondent. And the statute defines a video service provider as someone who has been, quote, granted a video service authorization. What's interesting is it doesn't define video service provider as someone who should apply for an authorization. It doesn't say that a video service provider is someone that's subject to the law, nor does it say a video service provider is someone who actually provides video service. It's defined in terms of who's been granted a video service authorization. Now, why is that so important? The statute creates a bright line system where unless you have that authorization, you don't have the franchise obligations, such as the obligation to pay the fee.
And so if you're one of those and don't have the authorization in operating, then you're in violation?
You may or may not be, but what it is clear is, in that instance, it's the director then who may take action to decide, hey, you should have an authorization, but you didn't get one. But what it does with that bright line is it displaces municipal action. In fact, the right of action that respondents referred to is very clear. It says for underpayment, you can initiate an action against video service providers. The statute is explicit that there is no right of action against someone who hasn't been granted a video service authorization. And that bright line preserves exactly the whole purpose of the statute, which was to recognize and place in one central authority a sole franchising authority in the Director of Commerce. In fact, the whole point was to eliminate the municipalities to create a uniform regulatory framework.
So, Council, if we agree, Council right over here on this side.
Sorry.
So if we agree with you on the standing issue, should we even answer the other question?
I submit, Your Honor, actually, either question is the same answer because they both turn on the definition of video service provider. And so I think, you know, either way, Your Honor, I think would be fine in terms of it would suffice to preserve the sovereignty of the state in this court and the law and tell the federal court what to do. I will submit, though, the other thing I want to comment on is there are clearly two competing visions of what this statute does. And as we hear from respondent, by defining provide so broadly and by defining the reach of the statute so broadly, the entire fulcrum of whether or not someone is subject to the law or not turns on very questionable determinations of quality, content, nature of programming. I would submit, having spent all last night watching some of the recorded sessions of this court, that it rivals, if not exceeds, the quality of C-SPAN.
Thank you.
But it should not depend on that, right? And I think that's why the statute is written in terms of whether or not it's based on facilities, the use of facilities, the use of wires and cables. The fulcrum should actually be who's actually physically putting things in the rights of way. That's what the focus should be, not on who does how long their program is, what they say, or how good they do a job in terms of doing that. And that's consistent with how this state has always dealt with franchising by municipalities. If you recall, as we referenced in our brief, franchising authority of municipality was always based on the definition of use and occupy the rights of way. And the statute states use and occupy has always meant place physically in the right of way. The statute didn't change that. It just got rid of the municipalities and centralized and as Director of Commerce. Well, no one said we expanded that.
Don't most people watch Hulu through something that's placed in the right of way, some kind of cable, some kind of high-speed connection?
Yeah, they actually admit in the brief that it's relying on the ISP, whatever a user wants to use to connect to the internet, that's what ends up happening. And the video programming
but most
in
that of those
instance,
are probably most people at least are watching some like Hulu or watching it through an ISP that's hardwired to someone's house through the right of way, right?
It may or may not be depending on the size of the city, right? In some cities, it's not hardwired to the house. Sometimes it may or may not involve wires and cables in that city's rights of way. It completely depends on how the user chooses to access. But the focus of the statute says that in that instance, the person who's providing over the wires and cables is the ISP, not Hulu, not Netflix. We don't control it. We don't dictate it. We simply make it available on the internet, just like this court does this session. And users, depending on how they want to access the internet, can then arrange with their ISPs to have that delivered through wires and cables if that's what it entails. But ultimately, I think, Your Honor, the facilities-based focus of the statute is clear from its text, and that's a proper way so we avoid constitutional content-based questionable arbitrary distinctions. And the statute here answers both questions simply by saying, do you have a video service authorization? If you don't, the answer is clearly no. So unless the court has more questions, I would submit and request that the court answer the two certified questions, which really is the same question, with a no. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We will take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision. Marshall, will you adjourn court, please?
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.